service, the Sunday school hour, and the preaching hour, we had some kind of a static interference, and they're no good. So if you shared it with somebody today, if you tried to listen to it, it's bad. And that's the devil. Amen. Such a great lesson this morning in Sunday school. Amen. Seemed like the Lord was with us today, and he just got robbed out of the air by the prince and power of the air or whatever. But it cannot. You could try to listen to it, but it's kind of like hard to listen to when you listen to something with static all in it. Amen. So we kind of deleted it. Amen. So hopefully got it fixed tonight. We could have called a little bit earlier. It would have been nice, but sometimes it's hard to do with that kind of stuff. Amen. But good to see you here. You were here today. You got it. But some people couldn't be here and could have got it, so we hate that. Amen. But it is what it is now. Amen. But Romans chapter number 1 tonight. Romans chapter number 1. Yeah, maybe for Brother Jeff. He's been sick today. So he at home could have heard it clearly and cutting. So others that are out sick and can't hear it, it's bad. That's one of the good things for it, amen, people be able to hear when they're sick, and maybe people other places around the country listening to the preaching and teaching, and she could be a help and blessing too, but they're not getting that one today, amen. Amen. Romans chapter number 1. We started a little study last Sunday night, on on why we should not be ignorant. And I told you last Sunday that we're going to try to carry on that theme for the next couple of Sundays as the Lord will see fit and show you some things that we're exhorted. There are a lot of things. We shouldn't be ignorant of anything in the Bible. Amen. We should try to study and learn all we can. The word ignorant means destitute of knowledge or uninstructed or uninformed, untaught, unenlightened. Amen. And we said last week that some of the reason why there's a lot of ignorance is because of the pulpit. And the Bible teaches that principle in there where the watchmen are failing to warn the people. And so people are ignorant because they're not being taught. And so a lot of it falls right back on the pulpits of America, while a lot of people are sitting in congregations are ignorant today. And that ignorance produces a false worship. Amen. That ignorance could cause you to trust your own righteousness and go to hell, which is the most dangerous thing about it all. Amen. And we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so we need to be instructed. We need to be taught. Amen. But Paul, at least 6 times, and Peter once, uses a phrase that's similar to all of it, the same, about what he would not have us to be ignorant of some things. Certain specific things that we're going to try to draw our attention to the next Sunday night, so some things specifically that are told not to be ignorant about it. Now, we're not told that we should not be ignorant about being born again. But you're not to be ignorant about being born again. But there's 7 things at least in the Bible where the Bible specifically says, I would not that you would be ignorant of this. Amen. So we're going to try to hit those things as the Lord sees fit. Romans chapter number 1, Brother James did a great study on Romans 1, 2, and 3 already. So we're not going to try to hit on the things he hit. We're going to give you the specifics on this thought about being ignorant. Romans chapter 1, look in verse number 8. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. Amen. We're not to be untaught, unlearned, uneducated, unenlightened about these subjects. And we'll look at this first one tonight, amen. And I'll just give you the title for the first one. We ought not to be ignorant about that there's hindrances to the ministry. There's hindrances to the ministry, to the work of God, to the things God would have us to do. And Paul, writing to the people at Rome, amen, about his trip that he would come to shortly, or he had purposed to come to, but he did not want the people of Rome, specifically when he wrote to the people in Romans, or the people in general in the church age, because it's a church age epistle, that we ought not to be ignorant that they are hindrances to the ministry. They were things that will try to hinder the ministry. Romans chapter 1, the verse is verse 13, but let's read verse 8 through the remainder, 2:17, 8 through 17. Romans 1, 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. This is a kind of a salutation at the beginning of many of Paul's epistles, that he thanks God for the people. that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And that's a great testimony. Amen. That people know about you and know about your God that you serve. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Paul was a prayer warrior to the saints of God. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul said that I thank God that your faith is spread abroad. I pray for you without ceasing. And I'm making a prayer request, if you will, that you would pray for me that I would have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul wanted to come to the people of Rome. And so he's saying, hey, how about put this on your prayer list? Verse number 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, here's our verse. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hereto, that I might have some fruit among you, as even as among other Gentiles. I was not let. I was hindered from coming here hitherto. The Bible says in verse number 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hey, some maybe thought, hey, Paul can't get here. And the reason why he don't really want to get here, because he's ashamed. Paul said, man, I want to get there, but I'm hindered to getting there. But you rest assured that I'm ready to preach the gospel, man. And I ain't ashamed to do it, whether it be in Rome or anywhere for that matter. Amen. Verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. So let's ask the Lord for help. Brother John, pray for us if you would. Amen. So we're not to be ignorant. Amen. And first thing we want to hit on tonight is that there's hindrances to the ministry. He said in verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. He wanted to come. He desired to come. But was let hereto. I was hindered to come, that I might have some fruit among you, fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. There's hindrances to the ministry. Paul is expressing his desire, obviously, to come to Rome. He desired to come there. He had a purpose for coming. One of the first purposes we see for Paul to come was to help to save people. Amen. And you should have a purpose in your life. Paul had a purpose to come to Rome. And number one, it was to help the people that were saved. Look in verse 10. Making request that by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, saved individuals, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. He wanted to help establish the saints of God. Amen. He said in verse 12, that I may be comforted with you by the mutual faith. Now, that's hindrances to the ministry. I'm having hindrances right now reading. Amen. I don't know if it's my flesh or the devil or what it is, but something's trying to interrupt me tonight. It might just be my bad eyes. I don't know. It might be my lack of study. There's something hindering me tonight. He said, that is, verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant brother, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you. Why? That I might have some fruit among you. So Paul had a desire, a purpose, and one of his purposes was to help the saints of God to grow in grace. He wanted to produce more fruit in their lives. He wanted to not only produce fruit in their lives, but he wanted to produce fruit in his own life, in his ministry for God. You know, to be a desire in your life to have more fruit in your life.
Amen.
Amen. By helping other people, by producing more fruit and more rewards to be able to lay down at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Our desire should be that God's people would grow in grace and get a little closer to the Lord.
Right.
3 John verse number 13 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. It should be a desire not only in 1 John's epistle that was written, but it should be a desire in all of our lives that God's people would grow in grace. We don't want them to be stagnant. We want them to increase in their faith. They want them to go forward. We want them to go forward in the grace of God. That's why we have Sunday school, to teach people, instruct them, to help disciple them in their walks with God. Amen. That's why we preach lessons and series and sermons. Amen. Why? That as lost would be saved, but the saints of God would grow and be instructed on how to serve the Lord. Amen. Hey, Paul said, I want to come to Rome. I want to produce some fruit. I want to produce some increase in your life. He had a desire for the saved people to grow in grace and walk with the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, that to young Timothy, the things which you have learned of me, commit also to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. So it's a process of discipleship, that what you learn, you teach somebody else, and they can learn it, and they can teach someone else. It should continue to go forward in our work for God. Amen. Hey, we should have a desire to go, whether it be Rome, as it was with Paul, or wherever we go, to help produce faith in the children of God's lives. His purpose was to help the saved. His purpose in the context here was not only to help the saved, it was to help the lost. It's a twofold ministry, amen. Help the saved grow in grace and help the lost see their need to be saved. That's what he goes on to say next. He says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. For so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Hey, Paul had a desire to help the saved, but he had a desire to help the lost be saved. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? How did Christ die for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed to witness to the lost. And you and I should be ashamed to want to help saints and to help sinners see their need to be saved. Open up your mouth for the work of God.
Amen.
He had a desire to see people saved. He wanted to see them grow in the grace of God. Paul went on to say in Romans chapter number 10, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a burden. And his burden was to help establish the saints and help see the lost saved. Hey, anybody that's got to work for the Lord, that's what they want. And Brother James gives a perfect presentation about the Blackfeet Indian. What is that? We're going out there to help some saints grow and help some lost be saved. Amen. And establish works for God. Hey, any sound, true place is wanting to do those two things in the area where they're at. They want sinners to come to the light, the knowledge of the gospel, and they want saints of God that after they get saved, to get established and witness to others and spread the gospel and continue to grow in the good grace of God. That's ought to be our desire. It was Paul's desire. Paul said, I have a purpose for my ministry. But we're not talking about the purpose. We need to get forth the purpose to see why there's hindrances. Anytime you want to do something for the Lord, there'll be hindrances. And Paul said, I want to get here. I want to produce some fruit. I want to see sinners saved. And you rest assured the devil hates both of them. And so there's what I call the purpose of his ministry, but I see the preventers of his ministry. The preventers. What are the preventers? There's three major preventers that I want to deal with tonight that are hindrances to the ministry. They will cause them to cease, hold up, or become stagnant, or maybe even to go in another direction. There's hindrances. The first hindrance to the ministry, amen, it would be, number one, would be Satan. Satan is a hindrance to the ministry. Amen. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He said, I was not let here too. That word let means hindered. It prevented me. It stopped me. Amen. Was not let here too. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Amen. Satan is a hindrance to the ministry. Paul writing to the church here in Thessalonians, in Thessalonica, he says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse number 18. Paul said, wherefore, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan, what? Hindered us. He didn't use the words that he used in the book of Romans, were let hitherto. He said, he hindered. It's the same meaning, to not be let, to come. Amen. Hindered from getting there. The word let would be, somebody said, it's like if you ever watch tennis, when somebody hits it into the net, they say what? Let. Right. It hindered it from going over the net. It prevented the serve. Amen. It hindered it. That word let means to be hindered in one definition of it. And in the context of Romans chapter 1 is exactly what it was. Hey, Paul said, I wanted to come. But I was not let here too. There was a hindrance. Amen. What was the hindrance there, Paul? Well, one of the hindrances, according to the Word of God, would be Satan hindered you from getting there. Satan don't want you to go there and preach the gospel, number one. Satan don't want you to go there and help saints of God. Hey, Satan hates both of those things.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Satan would love to keep you lost and going to a devil's hell, but if he can't keep you lost, if you're going to get saved, he's going to try to prevent you from going to be a witness to anybody else.
Yeah, right.
Hey, the devil never stops attacking you.
Right.
The devil hates you, amen. He's a hindrance to the ministry. The devil hates the work of God. Paul said, I wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. Hey, why did he want to come? Look in the context. It's the same thing. Verse 19. For what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Hey, Paul wanted to come help these saints.
Right.
The desire to help saints of God, no matter where they were. Now, the desire for all of us is to go help saints of God. Hey, but Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant about the fact that there are hindrances to the ministry.
Right.
Somebody said, you'll never do good and get by with it. Amen. You'll never do bad and get by with it.
Right.
Amen. You just ain't going to get by.
Yeah.
The devil's going to try to disturb you. He's going to try to fight you. He's going to try to cause you to quit. And he's going to do all he can to prevent the ministry.
Right.
Amen. If you get involved in the work of God, rest assured the devil's going to get involved in your life.
Amen.
Amen. You can mark it down. He is our enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know it. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He is the devil. He's out to devour you. He's out to destroy you. He's seeking for a way to keep you lost, or he's seeking for a way to destroy your growth process as a Christian. He's a hindrance to the ministry. Hey, don't be ignorant that there's hindrances to the ministry.
Amen.
Hey, if we're not ignorant about it, what it ought to do is cause us to pray more to God to help us through the hindrances. Amen.
Right.
We realize they're there. We realize that things are going to fight against us. And if we realize there's things against us, when they do kick against us, we can maybe still press on because we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. His devices are to try to hinder the work of God.
Amen.
He'll do all he can. Amen. He will attack any ministry that is for God. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Amen. Hey, you try to get close to God, and the devil's going to try to get close to you.
Amen.
There's some of you in here that have been desiring lately to get a little closer to the Lord. Read your Bible a little more. Pray a little more. Get educated in the Scriptures and the things of God to help yourself be more equipped to be used of God. Guess what? Listen to me. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, amen. Hey, don't be ignorant if he's going to try to hinder that ministry. He's not going to lay down and let you get close to God. He's going to do all he can to destroy it. Amen. How will he do it? He'll try all kind of avenues. He doesn't care what he uses. He'll use people that you love against you.
Right.
He'll use people you hate against you. You know that, amen. Hey, he will attack your life and try to destroy you. Hey, listen, we need to get a hold of this fact. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant that there's hindrances to the ministry.
Amen.
The devil's going to try to pull you down and destroy your life.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm going to preach the gospel. Go ahead. The devil's going to try to knock your feet out from under you. Well, I'm going to pray a little more. The devil's going to try to knock your prayer life down. He's going to try to get you distracted with 1,000 things. Well, I'm going to read more and get closer to the Lord. I'm going to get more faithful to God. Hey, listen, I don't want to try to be a doomsday tonight, but listen, there's hindrances to it, and we don't need to be ignorant about it.
Amen.
And one of them is the devil.
Amen.
do all he can to destroy your life. Hey, anybody in here that's got any common sense will admit that the times you've tried to get close to the Lord, the devil's turned up the heat. You don't need to be ignorant of that. Paul said, I don't want you to. That's the first thing that he mentioned in the order of the books of the Bible about what he would not have you to be ignorant about. That there's hindrances to the ministry. The devil will attack you. He'll do all he can to swipe you, amen. He'll get your attention on the wrong thing, amen. He's not going to lay there and let you get close to God. Don't be ignorant of it. What must we do? We must submit ourselves to the Lord. When the devil begins to heat up in our lives, James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, these practical truths that are there that we miss so often, he says, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Hey, submit yourself to God. Why? You're going to have to resist the devil because he's coming right behind it.
Right.
You submit to God, I'm going to do this. Why does he put him in connection that if you submit to God, you got to resist the devil? Because God knows when you submit, the devil's coming.
Yeah, right.
And the only way to really truly resist him is to submit first and give yourself to God and fight off hell as you go forward.
Amen.
That's why he talks about in Ephesians chapter number 6, arming yourself up in the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil.
Right.
And his fiery darts that he's shooting at you, amen. Hey, there's hindrances to the ministry. Don't miss that point tonight. The devil's going to try to do all he can. The devil will try to hinder the ministry. Amen. Hey, not only is Satan a hindrance to the ministry, and I don't know if this would be the proper terms to put as a hindrance, but a hindrance is not being let to, is stopping the process, but the principle and truth is there. Number two, Satan will hinder the ministry, but the Spirit of God hindered. You say, I don't know about that. Look at Acts chapter number 16. The Spirit of God hindered. A hindrance is not always evil. Something stopping it from going forward. Not letting it here too. Acts chapter number 16, the Spirit of God will hinder the ministry. Now, listen, if Satan is trying to hinder it, he's trying to stop something being accomplished from the Lord. If the Spirit of God is trying to hinder it and not let it happen, he knows a little bit more about the end result that we might not know. And he's trying to say, this is not the time, this is not the direction, you need to go another avenue. And God knows what's best. And if you pay attention enough as serving the Lord, you can tell which one it is.
Right.
The Spirit of God could hinder the ministry. Now, if he's hindering it, he's probably got a plan to take it somewhere else. Or maybe another direction in your life. That's why the Lord could stop things that maybe you would think, man, this has got to be a God. I mean, I want to go win these people to the Lord. I want to go educate these people as Christians to grow in the grace of God. And for some reason it's being stopped. Well, maybe it's the devil. Hey, it could be the Spirit of God. Because God knows your zeal is not the perfect will of God. Maybe a good intention is not always good. Amen. Romans chapter number 16, some of you really lost right there. Let's look at the verse. Verse number 6, the Bible said, and when they were gone throughout Perga and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now you say, preacher, listen, what they want to do is not a bad thing. They want to go to Asia and preach.
Yeah, right.
It's never a bad time to preach.
Yeah, amen.
Right? And preaching's a good thing. Preaching to help your life. Preaching to help you get saved. Preaching to help you grow in the grace of God. Hey, but they were forbidden to go preach in this area, not by the devil,
right,
but by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Holy Ghost said, no, not here. What is he doing? He's hindering it. He's not letting it come to pass. He's stopping it for a reason.
Right, right.
And listen, sometimes God will show you a reason, sometimes He won't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to go by faith and say, glory be to God. Mm-hmm. I like it when I get instructed and told, but sometimes God don't want you to know.
Right.
Sometimes God will make you operate by faith.
Yeah, amen.
You just got to have to trust that He knows best and I'm a plug on. And He wants to reveal it to me on this side, glory be to God. He wants to tell me when I get to the other side, glory be to God. I just want to follow Him.
Right.
Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Some things are of the devil to stop the work of God, but some things are from the Spirit of God. Look in verse number 7. He says, well, we read verse 6 again. It's a good verse, ain't it? He said, now when they had gone through Perga and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So we've established what they want to do is good. But the good thing they want to do has been forbidden by the Holy Ghost. After they were come to Mesa, they essayed to go into Bethany, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed through Mesa, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man, a Macedonian, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothraca, and the next day to Napolis, and from thence Philippi, which is the chief city that are in the parts of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Hey, he said, hey, God stopped us here and said, the Holy Ghost came in a vision and said, go this way. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's sometimes there's hindrances that are from Satan, and sometimes there's hindrances from the Spirit of God. He knows what we need.
Yeah, amen. Right.
You know what we need to be willing to do? Realize there's hindrances to the ministry, and God knows where to put us and where not to put us.
Right.
God knows when to pull the reins back and say, ho, ho, you're about to make a mistake.
Yeah, amen.
The intentions, your desires are good, but it's just not the right place, and it's not the right time. It's time just to hold up and wait.
Yeah, right.
You know, a lot of people have been destroyed like that in the ministry because they just can't fulfill where God wants them to be fulfilled. Just stay where you're at. Trust the Lord. Amen. God knows where you need to be and God knows when you need to go.
Right.
Amen. But what Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant about is there's hindrances to the ministry. Sometimes it's Satan, sometimes it's the Spirit of God. Amen. Somebody said there's four great convictions that you need to know in your life when it comes to the Spirit of God's directing in your life. It's what they call a biblical conviction. These are the four. You can write them down. Write them down. Check. I'm going to give you some verses. Go check them out tonight. Amen. A biblical conviction. What is a biblical conviction? A biblical conviction is something that you did not know until somebody took the Bible and showed you that it was there and it convicted you that it was so. Romans chapter number 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was heading down and reading the scroll of Isaiah. And he was reading about Isaiah 53 about the crucifixion of the Lord, right? And he's down there reading that thing, but he doesn't understand what he reads. And then Philip comes up and draws nigh, understandest what thou readest, how can it except some man should guide me? And he begins that the same Christian preaches unto him Jesus, and then that biblical conviction is revealed to him that that thing is about Jesus Christ. Now that's a biblical truth that's convicted his life. Hey, we need more biblical convictions. God said it and that's it. You know, the old saying is God said it and that settles it whether you believe it or not. But with biblical convictions, it's something the Bible says in black and white. It's not only biblical convictions, but the spiritual convictions. A spiritual conviction is a thing that's not necessarily in black and white. Now, the Spirit will never contradict what's in black and white in the Word of God in the King James Bible. But it's not something you got a clear-cut passage for. This passage that we're reading tonight is a spiritual conviction. The Spirit would not, the Holy Ghost would not let us here too. There's not a verse that says that you should not go into, where did he try to go? We were fitted by the Holy Ghost if we were preaching the word in Asia. There's not a Bible verse that says the Holy Ghost said don't go to Asia and preach.
Yeah, right.
The Holy Ghost revealed that to them. It's called a spiritual conviction. Well, the Holy Ghost will convict your life that is not necessarily something written in the Bible, but it will line up with the Bible and not contradict the Bible, but it will instruct your life on how to walk with God. Do you know what we need in our lives? Biblical convictions. That we believe the book and we apply it to our lives, but we need spiritual convictions that will lead us in the right way.
Right. Yeah.
What's wrong is a lot of people say the Spirit said it and it ain't nothing to do with the Spirit.
Yeah, right.
But there are spiritual convictions. There are not only spiritual convictions and biblical convictions, but there's natural convictions. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Go check it out. 1 Corinthians 11:14. How dare you to check them out. 1 Corinthians 11:14. There's natural conviction. What is a natural conviction? It's something that nature teaches you. I mean, you don't need a Bible verse for it, right? You know what nature teaches you? That a man's got no business with another man. Now we got Bible for that, but nature teaches you that, and you don't need a Bible. That's a nature. That's a natural conviction. Amen. That nature teaches you this thing. That a woman shouldn't be with a woman. Amen. It's just things that are just obvious as the nose on your face, right?
Amen.
You know what the problem is? The world's agenda is to educate you away from natural convictions. The world teaches contrary to those things. Things that are natural, the world turns away from them. So there's biblical convictions. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 38. Check it out. We gave you the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. The spiritual conviction is in the context here of Acts 16. The natural conviction, 1 Corinthians 11:14. But then there's, intellectual convictions. What's an intellectual conviction? It's a thing that you can intellectually reason. Here's your verse, John 12:4-5. They come in and she busted the alabaster box on the foot of the Lord. And Judas naturally said, with an intellectual conviction, I should say. Intellectually, he said, hey, could not that have been sold for 200 pence and given to the poor? Intellectually. There's nothing wrong with intellect. You know, if a man go to build a building, should he not count the cost, see whether it be sold?
Right.
Intellect. There's nothing wrong with intellect. Amen. You know, there wasn't really nothing wrong with what Judas said. Hey, could not it have been sold and given to the poor? Sure it could. 200, you know what 200 pence could have done? Intellectually, that's good. The only problem was, there was one more valuable than what he thought in his mind intellectually.
Right.
And the one that was being worshipped, was being anointed, was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. Hey, but there's you have to use your brain.
Right.
But don't use your brain to try to claim it to be spiritual.
Right.
Intellectually, this is what we ought to do. And so, it's like Judas saying, well, through the Holy Ghost, this would have been a good thing to do. When the Holy Ghost is just your intellect.
Right.
Well, nothing necessarily wrong with your intellect. The only problem was, you tried to claim it to be of the Spirit of God, and you caused a lot of trouble. That's the way people are. Sometimes they reason it out. Use your brain. I'm not against that. Count the cost. These are biblical principles. But don't let your intellectual convictions override biblical conviction or spiritual convictions.
Right.
Don't try to claim them to be one or the other neither. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, number one, that there's hindrances to the ministry, and one of them is Satan. Number two, the other one's the Spirit of God. He will try to put the brakes on the ministry. Amen. Allow the Lord to lead you and guide you in the right paths. Number three, amen, there's hindrances to the ministry, and the third one is self. Satan will try to stop you. The Spirit of God will try to stop you. Satan will try to stop you because he don't want God's work to be done. The Spirit of God will try to stop you because it's not the right time and the right place to be done. And then yourself will try to stop you. Look in Luke chapter number 9. Let me give you an example here. Luke 9. There's hindrances to the ministry. Maybe you're being hindered tonight in the ministry, in your work for the Lord. Who is it? Is it the devil? Is it the Spirit of God? Or maybe even yourself? I'm going to read the one in Luke 9. I want you to read it with me. But here's an example. Luke 18. Luke 18 verse 22 and 23. The rich young ruler. Remember what the rich young ruler said? He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord said, this and this and this. And he said, all I've done for my youth. And the Lord said, well, go sell all your goods and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. You know what hindered him from going forward? His own self.
Right.
There were some things that he wasn't willing to give up. There were some things where he drew the line. There are certain things in the Bible he said, I have no problem with them. I can do them. But you asking me to go too far when you want what I got because I'm rich.
Right.
And it was a self-hindrance to the ministry.
Amen.
In that case, coming to know the Lord in that sense. Self will hinder you. Luke chapter 9, look in verse number 57. Down towards the end of the chapter. We don't need to be ignorant that there's hindrances to the ministry. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a great desire. Luke 9:57. God, wherever you're going, that's where I want to be. You ever said that? You think he meant it? Probably so. Until he gets to realizing what it's going to cost. There's some people that's got great ambitions and great desire and great zeal until their zeal is educated with some knowledge, and then with the knowledge and the zeal, and they go, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, wherever you go, that's where I want to be. Well, the Lord said, verse 58, Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, hey, Lord, we want to go where you go. He said, before we go any further, boys, let me tell you something. The foxes have holes, and the birds have nests, but I ain't even got a home.
Right.
You still want to go?
Yeah.
Reality check. You sure you want to do this? You sure you want to follow me wherever I go? We might be sleeping under the stars tonight. You sure you want to go? Look at here. Verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And they're saying, whoa, hold up. Follow you, you ain't got a home, man. I ain't trying to slip out the back door here, but my father's dead and we got a burial service and I think I got to go somewhere. You get the story? How people got good intentions and good desire until they face with reality, and then they say, hey, you mean to tell me it's going to be rough? You mean to tell me if I'm going to serve the Lord it ain't going to be easy? We ain't going to be wealthy, healthy, wealthy and wise? It's going to be smooth sailing. No, it's going to be troubled seas, man. Amen. You can't get to the rose without going through the thorns. You got to have them both. And he says, well, I got something I got to do. Good excuse. Man, his father's dead. Who's going to say something about that? That would be crude and rude, wouldn't it? Verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's kind of rough, man. There's some things you read about the Lord, what He says about certain situations, that I'm going to tell you what, this age of Christianity could not take it. Lord, I want to go wherever you go. Listen here, boys. Birds have nests, foxes have holes. I have not where to lay my head. And he said, come follow me. And the guy says, I got to go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead and come preach the gospel. That ain't going to fly. That's a good way to lose church members. That's just a little too extreme with average Christianity. Verse 61, and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house, which are at home at my house. What are they doing at your house if you ever here with the Lord anyhow? He said, I got to go sell some people, bye. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They're hindrances to the ministry. Paul said, I would not need you to be, have you to be ignorant that I was not led here too. I wanted to come. I desired to come to Rome and help you, but I have been hindered as of this point. What could be hindering him? Number one, Satan could be stopping him, trying to prevent him from getting to Rome. It could be the Spirit of God saying, this is not the right direction for you at the moment. It could be self that is hindering. Amen. What hinders self and unwillingness? I'm just not willing to do it. Because why? You're stubborn. You're selfish. Just unwilling. I just ain't going to do it. You know, some people just leave me honest and say, hey,
right.
I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
You know why you ain't going to do it? Because you're unwilling and you're stubborn and you're selfish.
Right.
You don't want to be a part of the ministry because you're so full of yourself. You're going to go away sorrowful. Some people are unwilling. Some people cannot come with self because they're not unwilling. They're just unable. You know, you can be unable. The desire's there. The zeal is there. But the reality is, it's not that you're stubborn or selfish. You're just unable. Why are you unable? Well, you could be unable because you're sick. There's some people tonight that are unable to come to church. It's just a practical truth. They're unable to gather together with the saints of God because of sickness. They're not stubborn. They're not selfish. They're just unable to do it. It's a hindrance to that part of the ministry in their life. Some of you are unable to do certain things that you would love to do, but your sickness has hindered you. I think it was J. Vernon McGee. And of course, he had some jacked up stuff and quoted some other versions sometimes, but he also had some good stuff. And J. Vernon McGee done that thing, was it through the Bible? And he went completely through the Bible. It was a radio broadcasting thing where you can listen to him teach through the complete Bible. You ever heard the story why he got to that point? If I'm correct on it, I believe he got cancer. Some type of a sickness, I believe it was cancer. And cancer would not allow him to do what he used to do as traveling. So he delegated his time to that ministry on the radio to preach through the whole Bible. And that thing still goes on today. Where people are still learning some truths and some doctrine. Amen. Still some great stuff through there. Amen. And that would have never been done if he'd have never got sick.
Right.
He was unable to do other things, but he used it to do this thing.
Right.
Self can hinder you to not be able to do what you used to do. Situations could arrive. Troubles could come. Hey, there's some things that are not an unwilling. You're just unable. But there's hindrances. You know what the thing is? Just learn the difference. Look in Romans chapter number 15. Paul said, I had a desire to come. I wanted to come. I was not let here too. Amen. Romans chapter 15. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, saints, that there's hindrances to the ministry. Learn the difference. Learn to be able to accept what you got. If self has got you in a place because you're unable, accept where you're at and do what you can for the Lord. If it's an unwillingness, get it right. If it's the Spirit of God, submit to His direction and guidance. If it's the devil, do all you can to stand and fight against it and keep on going on for the Lord. But there's hindrances. Romans 15, verse number 21, the Bible says this. He said, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He's ending this epistle to the Romans. He said, I've been much hindered to coming to you. But now having no more place in these parts, and have a great desire these many years to come unto you. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I may be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Paul's ending this epistle as he sends it out to the Romans, and he started out the epistle in chapter 1 that he was not let hereto to come. And as he's wrote the book and given great instructions, he's given instructions in the end of where his travels, plans are to go. And he said, I still want you to know that I want to come. You know what we know according to the book of Acts? Paul made it to Rome. Paul said, I had a desire to be there. I wanted to come. I was hindered. There were things that were restricting me for coming. But you know what the sad part of it is? Paul made it to Rome. But he didn't make it the way he maybe dreamed it. He didn't made it the way he maybe planned it. These certain things he said, I will go here and then go there. There's not places where you can find that he made all those plans that he said in the end of Romans, where he wanted to go before he came to them. Amen. But you know what we do know? We know he made it to Rome, but he didn't make it sailing the ship and going there on the missionary journey and supported by a lot of works. He made it to Rome in shackles. He made it there as a prisoner. He made it. But sure wasn't the way he dreamed it up. He got there. You know what? Never desire to go somewhere and thank God for plans and desires and want to get there. But you might not get there the way you thought.
Right.
It might not turn out the way you dream it. But you know what? If you're in the will of God and you're doing the work of God, glory be to God.
Amen.
But rest assured, saints, don't be ignorant that they will be hindrances to the ministry. Realize, if it's the devil, fight against him. If it's the Spirit of God, be willing to submit, follow His guidance, even when you don't understand, until He gives you enlightenment where to go. If it's self, and if it's a self of unwillingness, get yourself right with God and go forward.
Right.
If it's self because of unableness, it just is what it is. Find out what you can do, and do it for the glory of God. But don't be ignorant that there's hindrances to the ministry. Amen. Everybody sing. Let's sing something tonight. Maybe you need to come. I don't know. Amen. Maybe something in the ministry with you is not where it needs to be. Or maybe you want to be used in the ministry or whatever. You know, however the Spirit of God wants to take His book and get